Heavenly Father, we would like to learn more from your word so that we can grow to be more like Jesus and love you and serve you all of our days. Greetings, saints. Our reading is 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20 to 22, Amplified. But now, as things really are, Christ has in fact been raised from the dead, and he became the first fruits, that is, the first to be resurrected with an incorruptible immortal body, foreshadowing the resurrection of those who have fallen asleep in death. For since it was by a man that death came into the world, it is also by a man that the resurrection of the dead has come. For just as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive. Verse 20 refers to Colossians 1 verse 18, TPT. He is the head of his body, which is the church. And since he is the beginning and the firstborn heir in resurrection, he is the most exalted one, holding first place in everything.
Our scripture begins with the word but. It says, but now, as things really are, Christ has in fact been raised from the dead. Earlier in the same chapter, we read the background to our scripture for the day. In 1 Corinthians 15 verse 1 and 2, now, brothers and sisters, let me remind you once again of the good news of salvation, which I preached to you, which you welcomed and accepted, and on which you stand by faith. By this faith you are saved, reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, and set apart for his purpose, if you hold firmly to the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain, just superficially, and without complete commitment. So that's the background to what's going on in this chapter. Then later on in verse 12, it says, now if Christ is preached as raised from the dead, how is it that some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? There's the problem. Some people were saying incorrect things. Goes on a little bit later in verse 16 to 17. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless and powerless, mere delusion. You are still in your sins and under the control and penalty of sin. Then it goes on to verse 20. But now, as things really are, Christ has in fact been raised from the dead. And that's how our scripture starts today. This was all predicted in the Old Testament in Isaiah 26 verse 19. But those who die in the Lord will live. Their bodies will rise again. Those who sleep in the earth will rise up and sing for joy. For your life-giving light will fall like dew on your people in the place of the dead. And so, all those years before Jesus came to planet earth as the Savior of the world, the results of his sacrifice were seen in the spirit realm. And this is repeated in 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 14 NLT. But those who die in the Lord will live. Their bodies will rise again. Those who sleep in the earth will rise up and sing for joy. For your life-giving light will fall like dew on your people in the place of the dead. That sounds a lot like the scripture in Isaiah. I wonder if it was based on that. When Jesus was walking the planet, he spoke of resurrection. In John 11, verse 25 to 26, NLT and NKJV, Jesus told her, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live, even after dying. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? This was when Lazarus got sick and died physically. And he spoke of Lazarus being asleep. Just like Jairus' daughter, when they said she had died, he said, she's just sleeping. So to him, raising someone from death is just as easy as waking somebody from sleep, because it is the resurrection. And since Jesus has been raised from death, and we will be raised from death when he returns, unless we love when he comes back, in which case we'll just skip the death experience. But basically, every born-again believer has the same hope of this new life from our loving Heavenly Father. And this is reflected in Romans 8, verse 11, Amplified Classic. And if the Spirit of him who raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, Then he who raised up Christ Jesus from the dead will also restore to life your mortal, short-lived, perishable bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So the same powerful Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us, and that's what keeps our bodies going. That's what restores our health, and that's what gives us the strength to keep doing what we need to do in service of our beautiful, loving Redeemer. There is a movie, a series of movies, God's Not Dead, 1, 2, and 3. And I think it was in number 3 where there was a friend of the main character who was caught in a fire. There was a fire in the church building. And this man went inside to investigate. Something happened in the fire where he got injured. And the main character then tried to drag him out, up the stairs and outside to the paving. And the paramedics were called and they were waiting for the ambulance to arrive. And this guy was basically dying. And what he said was something in his language, which I don't know. And the main character didn't know either. But when his friend's mother and father came, he asked what that meant. And she said it was something, well, it's difficult to translate exactly, but it's something like God is good always and always God is good. And that reflects my belief in life, which is God is good all the time and all the time God is good, which is a saying that these guys would say to each other to encourage each other. And this is borne out in Romans 8, verse 37 to 39, Amplified. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors and gain an overwhelming victory through him who loved us so much that he died for us. For I am convinced and continue to be convinced beyond any doubt that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present and threatening, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the unlimited love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Wow. So even when this guy was dying from the injury sustained from the explosion or the fire or whatever, can't remember the exact details, but he was maybe in a bit of pain. We don't know if that painless phase had kicked in, because I've heard that when a person is dying, the pain goes away. My mom-in-law said when my husband, the day before he passed, he was lying on his front and singing. You know, he was quite jovial. And so it seemed like he was getting better, and yet he passed shortly after that. So we don't know what the man in the fire explosion went through, but his mother did confirm that what he said means God is good always, and always God is good. And so that verifies my favorite saying. The letters of it is Gigat, G-I-G-A-T-T, with capital G for God, obviously, and a capital A for all, because that emphasizes that God is good all the time. And that is why we can do what is advised in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, Amplified Classic. Thank God in everything, no matter what the circumstances may be. Be thankful and give thanks. For this is the will of God for you who are in Christ Jesus, the revealer and mediator of that will. And so, once again, my conclusion is, with all this encouragement to strengthen us on our day-to-day walk with God, in our day-to-day marathon, in the race of life, let us shine our lights.